Open our eyes, Lord. We do want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him and say that we love him. Open our ears. Help us to listen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Sundays have always been my favorite day of the week. From the time my dad received Christ when I was 4, we began going to Sunday school and church, and I loved it. I didn't understand what was so festive about the day, but I liked it. I saw friends that I didn't get to see the rest of the week. We sang songs. I just loved it. And even when the day got more complicated as I got into youth group age in my early 20s and involved in church leadership, to where church started about 9:30, 9:45 with Sunday school on Sunday morning and then a worship service and then usually lunch with people that we worshiped with, back for youth choir at 4:30. You know the drill. How many of you have done it? To training union at 6 or 6:30, evening worship service, then a youth fellowship and go home and just drop dead about 10 o'clock at night. It was wearisome, but it was still festive, and I loved it. And I came to love it even more in my 30s and 40s as I began to discover passages of Scripture like this one in Hebrews 12. And my eyes began to open up to what's really going on a Sunday when the church gathers. Oh yeah, we sing some songs and we hear some scripture, we preach, we pray, we do the things we've been given to do. But so seldom do our eyes see beyond the tangible, the physical, to what's actually going on. The whole cosmos is alive. And I think it fails to dawn on us very frequently how alive the church is and what's really going on when we gather, two or three or more gather in the name of Jesus, and he makes himself known to us. There are several contrasts that are going on in this chapter. You have the blood of Abel that called out to the ground for vengeance, for justice. You have the blood of Christ calling out from the ground for forgiveness. Forgive him, oh forgive, they cried. Don't let that ransomed sinner die. We have the contrast in the story of Esau. Esau first happens in the 11th chapter, occurs in the 11th chapter as part of the faith narrative. And then when we get into the 12th chapter, we find that he's referred to as an unbeliever, really a wreck of a guy. Selling what he couldn't see, his birthright, his blessing, his inheritance, selling that for something small and tangible that he could see. We have Sinai contrasted with Mount Zion. Sinai, we got volcanic conditions, fire, storms, gloom, chaos, terror. Even Moses says, I'm terrified. Tangible, physical, cataclysmic terror. Contrasted with Mount Zion, the city of God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Countless angels in festal array. Everyone who's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Jesus himself. You ever think about that when we're gathered for worship? That's what's really going on? That there are countless angels in festal array, that there are those blood-washed saints who've gone before us, worshiping with us, mingling their voices with ours. And Jesus himself, if you go back just a few chapters, I think it's in chapter 8, he's referred to as the Liturgos. He's the worship leader. He is the minister in the heavenly tabernacle. He is the chief liturgist. He is the one who gets up and leads it all. And all we're doing here is joining in and being swept up into that's already going on there. A mountain of fear versus a mountain of joy. We are offered this invisible, this mystical, cosmically alive, invisible worship event ongoingly. But somehow we content ourselves with just the visible. We got to get our imaginations in gear, guys. We've got to let the Lord, invite the Lord to open the eyes of our hearts to see what's going on when we gather. I'm not suggesting something Gnostic or dualistic, that we trade the visible for the invisible. But I want to encourage you and challenge you to invite the invisible into the visible, to invite what's being described here in Hebrews 12, that vision. Let's welcome it in our own hearts, in our own experience. Let's have the eyes of our hearts opened to the Liturgos, the Lord Jesus himself, who has washed his hands in innocence and is leading festal parades around the altar, and be swept up into that with myriad angels, with countless blood-washed saints who've gone before us. It is an amazing thing. It's full of joy and it's full of love. There has been a whole lot of shaking that's gone on in our world. And Laverne and her family have just been shaken horribly. But the shaking that's coming is going to be even more severe, because it doesn't just shake the tangible reality. It shakes all of creation, even the invisible and the heavenlies that we can't see. We must turn our hearts to him, embrace him, celebrate all that he is and all that he has for us. Let's welcome the living invisible into our visible realm. Please stand for the prayers.